Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 60, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, and what's trending on Google and social media. It's Thursday, December 6th, 2018. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm going, Jack O'Brien, courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi Maine, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I said, do you speak a Miles language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemiles sandwich. Oh, and I just came up with that one on the spot because I'm so stoked for what is in the building right now.
Yeah, we are thrilled to have in our third seat the hilarious comedian Guy Montgomery.
Hello, fellas.
Hello. How
Holy
are you?
Holy shit, mate. You're here, finally.
Yeah, you said it, brother. Yeah, man.
We'll swap accents later, I think.
Right,
we'll
right.
Do that. That'll be a fun
time. Well, it's great to have you here, here in the States and in the studio. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about Fortnite. We're going to talk about Cardi B and Offset breaking up.
Offset!
We're going to talk Trump shit, Mueller shit, you know, all that stuff. We'll get to it all. But first, we like to ask our guest, Guy, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, quite recently, I was actually doing some comedy here in Los Angeles, California.
Uh-huh. Yes,
the very city that we're presently in.
Thank you.
And the hosts were riffing around, you know, talking about whatever they wanted to.
Right.
Can you believe it? And they in the middle of, one of them was on a computer during the riff. It was and they said Marilyn Manson has died.
Oh, shit.
And then I was like, I was backstage waiting to go on, and I was like, oh, whoa. Because that's, you know, you'd believe that if someone just told you.
Yeah. And you must have been gutted when you heard that.
Well, yeah, obviously, as you can tell by the T-shirt and the face paint.
Right. Based on your look.
Yeah. Pretty,
and you told me you had a rib removed also.
Pretty deep in the Marilyn Manson, you know, fan world.
Yeah.
But anyway, so crawled into the room backwards.
I immediately wanted to verify it, so I looked it up, and he was... He's still alive.
Yeah.
But then suddenly I was like, after the show, I was like, oh, that's right. Marilyn Manson isn't just alive, but he's out there doing stuff. So I Googled Marilyn Manson facts.
Yeah.
Just to sort of, you know, so that was my most recent Google search.
Any facts?
From like,
Guy, you're really dating the podcast by saying Marilyn Manson's still alive, because, I mean,
but it's like a bit, though. I feel like that's like a troll move on the internet that people do a lot. Like, yeah. They always want to be like, yeah, oh, yeah. He died.
Don't you think he's right in the slot for someone if you heard it?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to push back on that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I heard he died like when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I think I heard it a long
time
ago.
That would go around. Yeah. There are some facts I've retained.
Okay, let's hear it.
Him and Johnny Depp, unsurprisingly, who's aging brilliantly, close friends to the point of having matching back tattoos.
Oh,
no.
God.
Yeah.
Of what?
Murder
scene?
What am I, some sort of information machine? they just have ink.
Right.
And then also he has a fear that his house will burn down at any time. So he has, sounds like it's on the more speculative side, but
right.
The listicles seem pretty authoritative.
Right.
he's got a fear of his house being down. So he always has sex with his pants around his ankles.
Uh-huh.
He's
ready to pull up, pull up and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like a convenient excuse for just keeping your pants on. Because you have weird ankles.
Because you're just a sloppy dude.
Yeah, you have weird ankles.
I always fuck with my socks on. Yeah,
I know when I'm in the bedroom, I'm always looking out for some ankle quirks.
Right. Yeah, right. Let me see those
And you're like, ugh, I'm out of the mood. Look at those.
Right.
Do you have any facts about Twiggy Ramirez?
I don't know who Twiggy Ramirez is.
Twiggy. Yeah. Twiggy was in Marilyn Manson also. He was the bassist and guitarist, I think.
Yeah. I'm shocked that you don't have facts about Twiggy Ramirez.
I'm such a fan of Marilyn Manson. Yeah, right. Everyone in his orbit is, you know, barely a footnote to
me. What was the vibe like in New Zealand when Marilyn Manson came out? Was that a big thing over there?
Yeah, I mean, I think he had reach everywhere. There was sort of, you know, people saw him and he was representing something that they were into. But I came to him later.
Right.
I didn't get caught up in all the hoopla.
Yeah.
But certainly that rib removal, self-flating. Remember, that's a global. That was doing.
That's
the
a global
everywhere.
Phenomenon, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You talk to anyone from any country. That was on the playground,
right?
Yeah, he knew how to go viral even before the internet.
Right.
Just say that you had a rib removed to blow yourself. What is something you think is overrated?
I think it probably runs against the ethos of a pop culture podcast, but okay. I think like recommendations
mm-hmm.
of cultural events or things to absorb is overrated.
Okay.
So yeah. Everyone's got a mountain of work to get through already.
Right.
And like I always feel like recommendations usually, like unless they're specifically tailored for the person, which happens occasionally, more broadly speaking, it's usually just like a launch pad for someone to just talk at you about something they've been reading
that they
or
like.
Watching
whoa,
lately.
Hold on. This is our whole show. This is
all about the news, baby.
Yeah, well, wait till we get to our segments. What you watching on Netflix?
Right. Yeah, I agree that tends to be just... especially now because there's so much content that it's just getting a recommendation, even if it's convincing, it's like stressful. It's like another assignment to get through.
The other thing I think is also kind of weird is when people shame people for like being like, how have you not seen that? It's like, motherfucker, like you're saying, there's so much media right now. There's no way I can like prioritize all these other things and have a life.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Is it okay to do that to people who haven't seen The Wire?
Oh, fuck yeah. You should beat them with their own shoes if they haven't seen The Wire.
What is something you think is underrated?
Bags. Having a bag.
Mm.
Yeah.
When you leave the house.
Uh-huh.
I was a very slow adopter to bags. I'd always just have like overstuffed pockets.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now, man.
You've got it all.
You put so much stuff in there.
Right.
You got free pockets. You don't get that like wear and tear on your jean pockets.
Especially the back one.
Your big, thick, like middle-aged wallet goes with all those cards in it. Yeah.
So thick.
Yeah.
I just came around to the bag life too because my legs are bigger. I would say I'm a thick boy. That everything looks like an outline on my pants and like to the point where I had a pair of jeans that my phone outline just became like it fucked up the dye. So I'm all about bag life.
Yeah. I have that going on too in jeans because I have two pairs of pants that I just wear constantly.
I got two pairs of pants as
but at least you can rotate between the two of them. But then like they start falling apart and they fall apart specifically where my wallet goes.
It just
like,
keeps falling.
A hole just burns through.
It's naturally the most worn part of the pant.
Exactly.
And if you got like anywhere about 10 t-shirts or shirts, no one's even going to notice that you've only got two pairs of I mean, you've outed yourself now.
Yes, I have. We will cut that out.
No.
and finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Well, it's fairly well known, but sort of there's a myth surrounding a Greek figure called Daedalus, who He got,
I'm loving the emphasis on the syllables on this one.
Yeah.
Daedalus.
Yeah, and him too.
Oh, wait, so it's the same guy. Making sure. Okay.
But anyway, yeah, there's a rumor going around he got banished from Athens and went to Crete and eventually through circumstance wound up building a labyrinth for a minotaur.
Right.
And was kept prisoner in a tower wherein him and his young son Icarus crafted some wings from feathers and wax.
I have heard that.
And he was like, to his son, he said, don't you go too near the ocean or too near the sun.
Right.
And then rumor has it Icarus flew too close to the sun. Yeah. Right.
No, my friend was just telling me that.
Sounds like a load of baloney to me, fellas.
That's my favorite execution. That's my favorite myth we've had busted
legend.
To this point. Legendary. All right. Well, that was wonderful. Let's talk about what's happening in the news today. And I don't even know how to pronounce one of the words in this headline, but Fortnite is causing lawsuits. The emotes from Fortnite.
Those
are
things you
can buy,
like, so you can make your character do a dance or whatever. They call an emote. And so a lot of people, especially Chance the Rapper, I think back in July, was like, hey, a lot of these dances are just taken straight from hip hop or from specific artists. There's no like credit or sign of any kind of compensation. A lot of people are like, oh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he has a point because there's a few of the dances are very much specific to artists, and Epic Games, the developer of Fortnite, just straight up took it. So if you don't know, I feel like everybody knows what Fortnite is at this point. And if you know what the emotes are, you've probably seen kids doing the flossin' dance, which is from the Backpack Kid, where I see constantly all the time. It makes me a little disturbed. It disturbs me a little bit. But there's one dance called Swipe It, which is basically the rapper 2 Milly's signature dance.
It's Milly Rock.
The Milly Rock.
Yeah.
Okay, and they call it Swipe It. And then the shoot dance is from a Blockboy JB video. So 2 Milly is lawyered up, and he's now suing Epic Games for stealing his Milly Rock dance in the game. And, you know, we're not sure where the lawsuit is going to go, but apparently you can trademark a dance. So according to the Copyright Act of 1976, you would be able to protect dances under copyright law. So we'll see what happens. And he's not the only person who's had a dance stolen. Donald Faison, who did the poison dance in Scrubs, that just became like the default dance in Fortnite 2. And that was a dance like, I don't know if it's necessarily hyper-specific to Donald Faison, although they're definitely using that specific instance of him dancing to inspire the emote. But that was something he just improvised on the set of Scrubs. So
I don't even
think about that.
What is the poison dance?
It's more like him doing like the Running Man kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Like dancing to, I think, Bell Biv DeVoe's Poison.
Who's the guy who's lawyered up again? What's his name?
2 Milly.
2 Milly.
Yeah.
Well, he points to 2 Milly. I reckon that's great.
Right.
Fortnite's probably making enough scratch that they can afford to have lawsuits coming in from the side saying, hey, stop jacking our dances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously. And I mean, it seems like they've made all the money.
Oh,
they've
had all the 100%. Success. Like, they're making billions of dollars. And again, a lot of people are like, yo, you're just mining black culture here and you're putting that in there and just being like, whatever. That's like a thing you can buy and we'll profit off of. So, you know, might want to take a look at that again.
Yeah. Then I suppose the inverse argument, there's value in, you know, the dance being put in Fortnite, so ubiquitous, you know, it's like, who's tracing back the dances that from their video game back to their
Nobody.
Origin?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure that's the argument they would like people to buy, that, well, we're just publicizing your dance, so it's good for you.
The pay is an exposure.
Yeah. It's
come on,
2
Milly.
exactly.
But yeah, that one is like, his name is the Milly Rock, and even that, what is it, Playboy Cardi song, Magnolia, is all about, in New York, I'm Milly Rock.
Right.
I did in my side.
That's where I first
selling that re-rock.
Saw the Milly Rock.
Yeah.
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
That's how the song starts.
Boom, boom, boom. I can't hear that without wanting that song to start. I can't think of like an equivalent example of something like people trademarking a movement.
I don't know. I wonder if MC Hammer was smart enough to get in front of that.
Or Chinese typewriter or whatever.
Or like, I'm sorry?
Wasn't it called the Chinese typewriter?
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's what I heard.
Shit.
That's what
it was some coded language.
Yeah, it did sound problematic when it came out of my mouth.
Chinese typewriter.
The Chinese typewriter. Yeah.
Yeah. Who else?
I think if you did it in a Cantonese accent, it would have been okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been much better.
Let's try take two. But no, I think him. Who else may have? I mean, Michael Jackson is probably the only other people I could think of who had the grounds to try and copyright a dance.
Right, the moonwalk. But yeah. He stole that from somebody did that on
Neil Armstrong.
Dance Stand, I think. No, not that one.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've never been impressed because it doesn't look like the Neil Armstrong moonwalk at all.
He was moving very slowly. He was using a different gravitational field.
If you want to really impress us, Michael Jackson moves sort of several meters in one very lumbering bound.
And Cardi B and Offset broke up.
Oh, yeah, they broke up. I mean, there were constantly rumors swirling around that whilst pregnant, she was stepping out on her. And even, like, I think prior to that, they just
had
a
lot. He was stepping out on her?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I thought you said she was stepping out.
No. I mean, those are the rumors that I kept hearing. Mm. And then, you know, she also had to kind of take some bullets for him because he would use, like, homophobic slurs and things like that. And, like, on Instagram, she just posted a video that was just sort of like, hey, you know, everybody's been bugging me and everything. Like, we've been trying to work things out and we're really good friends, but we just fell out of love, I guess. And then he commented on that post, is like, y'all won.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, Mr.
I think he was specifically talking about us because we have been rooting very hard against them ending up together.
You boys are most famous for ragging on their relationship.
Yes. No way will that ever work.
So is that your one directed at the broader public? Or is that?
I must be because, like, you know, I guess the social media, Twitter sphere always has comments on everything. So I guess was he trying to say that the people on social media were forcing him to cheat on her or something?
Yeah, like, I think that's probably it.
Hey, you know, he's basically abdicating his responsibility. Yeah.
Right. It's sort of like every NFL team going into the playoffs is like, nobody believes in us. Nobody ever believed in us. Right. Like, even the Patriots are like, nobody believed we could win this. It's like, you guys have won 8 years in a row. What are you talking about?
Well, they're young. They're young people in love. So what could we have expected?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. They're 26.
I don't know for them to end up together.
You know,
would I have my heart?
Well, I look, Cardi, you know, at me.
Back on the market, yeah.
Back out there. So I actually haven't been following their relationship that closely, but he's been sort of problematic, Jackson Maining their relationship.
A couple of times. And, like, she was catching heat from, like, her LGBTQ fans and stuff because he, you know, likes to say shit that you shouldn't be saying in ever. Right. Especially not 2018. So
what do we think the effectiveness of calling out the partner of the person who's, you know, perpetrating pejorative language?
Well, I don't know if that
just hit him up. You go, hey, can you please stop using these homophobic slurs?
Right.
Brett, they're really effing up my day.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just sort of her. I think as the attacks came from him, she just was playing the role of protector.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, take the arrows, as it were. It just seemed like she has had it. And it's funny too, because in the past they would always post, like, photos together looking like they were so in love and things like that, or she would comment on his. She's like, oh, I can't wait to see you and fuck the shit out of it. Like, it was really very transparent. You'd be like, oh, wow.
Right.
But I think we all know couples who, you know, portray a public life on social media, and it's quite another thing in private.
Of course. That's a savvy social media move, is to comment your enthusiasm. You know, if you've got a partner, you might be excited to have sex with them, but you'd usually send that in a text or a DM.
Right.
But to do it in the comments, you know, and everyone's going, oh my gosh.
Wow, look at that.
What a sexually explosive relationship these two must have.
Nothing is private with these two.
Just did it again, guys. Posting to Twitter. just every time, just notch it.
Oh, yeah. Another sex act with us again.
Well, I hope you're happy, the internet.
Because y'all
won. Did it again.
Y'all won.
I think I might start blaming all of my any argument I have with my wife on the internet.
Y'all won.
Yeah, great.
They were always against me. They were always against
me. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So I have two stories kicking us off right here that sort of portray the span of where things stand with the Trump and Mueller investigation as far as in my life and how I'm thinking about things.
Okay.
So on one side, you have Trump blatantly obstructing justice and witness tampering on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's talking about how Michael Cohen deserves to go to jail and serve a full and complete sentence. He tweeted, "I will never testify against Trump. This statement was recently made by Roger Stone, essentially stating that he will not be forced by a rogue and out-of-control prosecutor to make up lies and stories about President Trump. Nice to know that some people still have guts." And people were saying, yo, that's basically a crime to do that, because you can't communicate that you're, like, going to reward somebody for doing the thing you want them to
do. Yeah, that is a prima facie. Witness tampering.
Right.
It's so evident on its face that right. You're like, okay.
He's this Donald Trump guy. He strikes me as more of a, it's easy to ask for. He doesn't even ask for forgiveness.
Right.
But he doesn't seem like the sort of guy seeking out permission.
Oh, never.
Right. No.
His whole thing is, I never did it. And if you get him, you're like, you did. And he goes, well, so what?
Right. I was allowed to do it.
Yeah, it was never like, my bad. It was like,
it was cool and very legal.
Very cool and very legal.
Yeah, and then on the other hand, I'm seeing a lot of articles from people. I don't know if it's like pregame jitters or something, but now that the Mueller report is probably about to drop, we're seeing a bunch of articles where it's people being like, I don't know, 538 wrote an article being like, what if this is all we learn from the Mueller report is like what has already broken, you know?
Like, well, in what sense? Like that even if it were fully released to the public, like the knowledge therein wouldn't be
that he's basically,
stuff we haven't heard already?
Yeah, that he's basically communicated everything that he has evidence for. So he's communicated basically that they definitely know that Russia interfered on Trump's behalf. Mm-hmm. They have that. And they have that the people around Trump lied. But there's not necessarily anything to indicate that they have the Trump campaign colluding with Russia or that Trump.
But they would, right? If it were like, if you look, go the Jerome Corsi WikiLeaks route, if you're a fool enough to believe that WikiLeaks isn't some arm of Russian intelligence, and then they're feeding Jerome Corsi information who then gives it to Roger Stone.
There's all sorts of reasons that I thought that we had this guy nailed to the wall.
That's unrelenting though. It's been the whole news cycle since he started. It's like, remember, like a month or 2 months in, whenever he did something, it was like, oh, he'll be impeached next month.
Right.
And then it's like just this constant shifting of the timeline and expectations. And now it feels like I'd say the truth lies somewhere in between, where it is pregame nerves, where it's like, well, you know, this is kind of quite a big information dump that's hopefully going to have the impact we want. And then also it's like, but realistically, this will just be another straw on a very frustratingly powerful camel's back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think 538, though, too, they don't want to start spiking footballs quite yet. So I think it behooves them to kind of be like, well, let's make sure we know what's happening.
Just due diligence.
And I know a lot of smart people who are skeptical of that the Mueller investigation is going to be the thing that delivers us from evil. Mm-hmm.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
Yeah. Should we just go into prayer
right
now?
Our Father. Our Mueller.
Yeah. I mean, there is also a piece in Vanity Fair just from a, you know, Trump-hating Mueller investigation skeptic who was just saying sort of how I feel, in the sense that there is this cycle of hype where it's some piece of information breaks and we're like, we got him. That's it. Like now, because he's letting Cohen off or recommending Cohen gets not much of a sentence, or with Flynn, because he's recommending that Flynn get not much of a sentence, then he must have him on something. But then that sort of just fades, and I don't know. Well, I guess we're assuming that he's holding back all these cards that are going to, you know, put together a really compelling case, and I just don't know.
I think I've always tried to not let the Mueller investigation be my savior,
right?
Like mentally, emotionally, because like with all the other things that would have completely decimated any other administration seem to not work. And I'm like, we're dealing with something different here.
Yes.
I think it's really going to be up to the thing that I would be most politically horny for is to see public sentiment on the right actually change in one direction about this. And that is what I feel like a little bit just like, well, you know, he's going to have the people on the right in office who are going to basically protect him. But I wonder what it will take. I guess the thing I would be excited about, if there were something that would be so just clear, even if it is something we don't know, but it's just the details of it became very clear. Like, oh, here are the dots connected, that if, you know, what to see what the response would be from the GOP. But who knows?
It's been a very, like, watching it from afar as an outsider, it's been a sort of very slow adjustment of expectations on, like, how quickly the machinations can trap.
Right.
You know, the paper trail of, you know, the garbage that he's done. It's like watching the American conscience be like, we'll get him, we'll get him. And he's like, we'll get, you know, maybe not today, but not this year, but, you know.
Yeah, we're eating away at it.
History will be the judge.
Exactly. And then we're like, when he's like forever president, we'll be like, maybe we can send a time capsule into space and someone will then know the objective truth.
Also on the subject of the GOP and in a place where it seems like they might actually be fucked, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening?
Literally
over there, Miles?
District 9.
Yeah.
As we call it, North Carolina's 9th congressional district. So we talked about how there are tremendous voting irregularities in the 9th district's congressional race between Mark Harris, the Republican, and Dan McCready, where Mark Harris won by 905 votes. But the Board of Elections was not willing to certify because they're like, hold, this is like really shady. There's so much evidence. Like one of the things, even that he got like 60% of the absentee vote in the county, but like only like I think 20% of the mail-in ballots were requested by Republicans. So he like won over and then just a wild number of independents and Democrats apparently by that math. But now, like, as people have slowly began to put their eyes on this story and began asking questions, we're getting more and more details. So from up top, we saw that it seemed like there were a group of eight people. One of the big smoking gun things were that eight people were signing on as witnesses to people's ballots, which you need to sort of be like, okay, this person, like it was in witness of these other people, we can say that this was like a proper ballot or whatever.
Right.
That it was like eight people who were the witnesses on like 130 ballots or something like that. And now some reporters, I think local news people, went around and found, tried to track down these eight people to try and see like, okay, what's at the heart of this? They spoke with two people and these women were like, obviously just people who this guy dug up to go around and steal people's ballots, essentially. Because they asked, hey, so what do you know about your work with this GOP operative, this consultant, Leslie McRae Dowless? And they're like, well, you know, I was just paid to go to, I had a list of addresses. I would push for them to maybe support the candidate, Mark Harris, or the sheriff, McVicker. And then I would take their ballot, and then I wouldn't mail it off or whatever. I would just give it back to Dowless, and then I don't know what happened.
Wow.
And they're like,
not even an effort to cover up what, like, is there, are we to believe they're so idiotic that they're just like, oh, I just did what I was told.
No, well, yeah, well, I think these people were because they didn't, they're like, you know, you can't do that. Like, I didn't know. They were paying me like $100 a week to do this.
Right.
So clearly it wasn't even like the kind of pay that you give people. You're like, yo, what we're doing is wildly illegal.
Right.
So yo, shut the fuck up. So you got to know, I'll pay you whatever you need, but this has to be under the table. A lot of these people were like distant relatives of him. His stepdaughter's been implicated in it too, where she denied it when they asked for comment. They're like, but we have like affidavits from people who, when we showed them your photo, they said, yeah, that was the woman who came to get the thing. But again, hey, it gets shadier and shadier. And then BuzzFeed published an article, I think yesterday or the day before, that gives a sort of like a peek into the inner workings of this thing where I guess this guy, you know, he was getting a lot of cash from the candidate, Mark Harris, and was just using cash to pay these people to go pick him up. And
so the candidate himself was giving him
cash. He was paying
the cash.
Yeah, because he was a consultant. Uh-huh. And there are a few other people on that ticket. I'm sure the sheriff McVicker was also using him as well, because I don't think he was just having them, you know, be endorsed or have the people who are picking up the ballots name check him when they're like, please support Mark Harris and Sheriff McVicker. So in this thing, they were saying like a lot of people, like even the people that were working on it, like some were like addicted to opioids. Like there's a quote from this BuzzFeed article said one worker, she said, was so fucking high the other day, she passed out at the fucking computer. One of the workers who collected absentee ballots from residents was a quote pill head, she said. And then they go on to sort of saying, this woman they spoke to said, my job at the office was I read emails and I counted how many Republicans, Democrats, and non-affiliated people voted every day. I added up how many voted that day, wrote it on a piece of paper, then they read it, and then I don't know what they did with it. And then so they were like tracking stuff maybe to like, you know, adjust what the levels of shenanigans that were occurring, for lack of a better word.
There isn't a better word.
Yeah.
Quite simply.
I guess it's a heinous fuckery is one we use a lot.
Right.
And then one of the women also said that they had received money from the county, and BuzzFeed couldn't verify that. But when they asked someone who worked at the Board of Elections, one of the supervisors, like the woman who would have been able to answer that question, she just like surprise resigned last week, like a month early. I think her term was supposed to go to the end of the year. So there's just a lot. It just, the evidence is like mounting more and more. And now you have people who are straight up saying like, yeah, I went and got those ballots and I gave it to this person.
Right.
It's exhausting, like the sheer volume and intricacies of the ways in which people are doing shady stuff, like across not just on a nationwide level, but in like local, you know, like in state politics. And like, it's, I don't even know how you guys can wrap your, I mean, you do a grand job, but wrap your heads around just the sheer volume of fuckery that appears to be happening at every fundamental level of.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I just look at the news and go, huh. Wow, we're going there. And every state has been doing that. Like we talked about in Wisconsin, the state assembly there basically completely kneecapped the powers of the incoming Democratic governor. They're trying to pull the same shit in Ohio and Michigan. They did it in North Carolina. So their new tactic is just cheat by fucking any means necessary now.
Yeah.
And they're like finding like not loopholes. It's just that I guess there weren't statutes written because people assumed that we were going to, at the very least, respect the structures of government. And then whoever's voted in, because it's a democracy, would rule in that sense. But it's a, I don't know. I mean, these should be massive scandals across the country, because I still can't believe the shit that's going on.
Yeah, and the mainstream media, when it comes to stuff like this, for instance, with the Wisconsin thing, I think there was a New York Times headline the other day that was like, Wisconsin Republicans moved to shore up power as like to undercut Democrats as they come in. And it's just like, that's not really what, like, they're basically trying to change the rules of democracy.
Right.
Like,
it would be like if I robbed a bank and it's like, man augments wealth with gun.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like when it comes to very foundational assumptions that the whole society and culture rests on, the mainstream media doesn't like to like look too closely at that shit.
Well, I guess they don't want to be. I think it's the fear of being accused of them being rabble rousers by merely reporting on. You know what I mean? Because there is that fear of the right thing that we've seen in the media play out a lot.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe it's just we just don't have proper journalists anymore.
Well, there's also an element of like, you know, the volume and number of ways in which the entire government are doing, you know, dodgy stuff. It's like it's so much noise and smoke that it kind of masks like a lot of the lower, like, you know, it's hard for people to maintain interest and like stay up to speed with so many, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very.
It almost works. Like all the dodgy shit that is going on at that top level, it's like it almost masks, you know.
Yeah.
All the delightfully shady stuff going down amongst the weeds.
Right.
Yeah, because the whole building's on fire and you're like, which floor should we pay it? The whole building's on fire.
Right. Does New Zealand work as a society?
It's
functional.
It's stripped back.
Nice.
It appears to be a slightly more skeletal sort of framework by which we're abiding. There's less of us.
Right.
And both of our governments are fairly central. Like there's not this huge chasm or divide between right and left as there is here right now.
Wasn't there a president who liked to yank on girls' ponytails?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was our previous prime minister, guy, John Key, who was very well liked and in charge for just shy of 9 years.
Yeah.
This is weird.
You said what?
John Oliver did a story about it.
Yeah. He was outed for, he would go to like a local cafe and there was this wait staff who he sort of thought he had quite an enjoyable, not flirtatious, but, you know, like almost rambunctious relationship with, where he thought it was funny or cool to yank on her ponytail.
Okay.
She was like, that's the prime minister, but also it's like, it's such an eccentric behavior.
Right,
like
right.
No right thinking person in the world would be like, oh yeah.
Was he married?
Yeah.
So he must have, like, that sounds very juvenile. Like, that he must have been doing that for years.
So then it turned out there were other instances where he had been captured on camera yanking on women's ponytails.
But it's like, that's exactly part of how he was framed and what made him appealing and, like, you know, mask anything of genuine interest that he was doing was because his outwards facing character was this, like, idiotic larrikin who, like, loved to ham it up and would do all this, like, dopey shit like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Which kind of undercuts how intelligent he was,
right?
You know, in other more nefarious ways.
I mean, you catch up, man. Our president's grabbing people by the genitals,
right? Yeah, that's much more charming. The ponytail thing.
I think most people, if it was a binary choice,
yeah, I would go with that one. All right, we're gonna take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity, and it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
And we're back. And so a bunch of European and American doctors and scientists have come out with a study that proves to me once and for all that those specific doctors and scientists have mental problems.
Oh, 100%. This is a very, very controversial study. One in which where they are trying to tell us Americans that potatoes rank near the bottom of healthful vegetables and lack the compounds and nutrients found in green leafy vegetables. And that if you take a potato, remove its skin, where I guess the nutrients are found,
right,
cut it, and deep fry the pieces in oil and top it off with all with salt and all this other shit, that that is a starch bomb that could be, quote, a weapon of dietary destruction. They are fucking sick people.
Yeah.
They're saying French fries are bad.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know.
Oh, fuck.
Come on. But
take your head out, man.
They specifically suggest that you eat only 6 French fries per serving, which seems like they don't know what French fries are.
You
something.
Binge eat them until, right, even when they're cold, you just keep shoving them into your face hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I always did wonder, because there were so many studies being like, if you want to eat something that has like a nutritional negative,
right,
eat French fries or whatever. But I was like, well, then what's the rub here? I guess 6 French fries and then maybe some salad and you can get away with it.
Can you imagine the poor research assistant who was tasked with writing up the findings and the, right, other one who's like 6 French, you know.
Yeah, finding out like 6 French fries.
Huh. How could you type that out with this? It's absolutely, it's utter madness.
Yeah, it really is. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I don't know what to say. It just makes my skin crawl.
The science world has been flip-flopping on potatoes for a long time. You know, there's always like, it's potatoes and bread.
Right.
All these carby foods are like, oh, you got to eat lots of bread.
Yeah.
And then, right, you know, bread. A week later they go, oh, you better lay off the bread.
Yeah.
Hope you didn't have too much bread from a week ago, because it's really bad.
They've been pretty consistent on the no starch thing for, yeah, the past like couple decades. And
but you know how many they say the average American eats? 115 pounds of potatoes a year.
115, yeah, pounds.
Two-thirds of that usually come in the form of fries, potato chips, or frozen or processed potato products.
Huh.
I mean, what the look,
what happened to the good old days of just, yeah, hung into a raw skin-on potato?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Like an apple.
How,
yeah,
did it get to this point whereby two-thirds of the potatoes we consume have been refined
fried
and,
yeah,
fried?
Yeah, just, well, raw potatoes. That's what I say.
I don't know, man. Like I said, much in the same way that Ennis Del Mar couldn't quit Jack Twist, I can't quit these motherfucking fries. I can't quit you.
I think it's a job. It's on marketing now, you know?
Yeah.
It's up to the big fast food conglomerates to reframe the way that they prepare and sell the potatoes.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, Happy Meals, they subbed out fries for fruit.
Right.
What about a third option, which is just a small, dirty baby potato, raw baby potato?
That is the health option. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, I love fries. But they say, yeah, if you eat fries 2 to 3 times a week, you definitely increase your
you die
your risk for mortality. Yeah. But I think we're all at risk of mortality.
And your chance of living your best life also.
Right.
It shoots right up, the risk of that happening.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you a big fry chips fan?
I'm your worst nightmare as a dining companion with regards to fries.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, no. I won't order a bowl of fries.
Wow.
But then someone else inevitably does. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have a couple of those fries.
I'll have 6.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a monster.
I count them out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is your fast food? Do you have a fast food secret? Something you love?
I don't really mess around with fast food too much. I'm a vegetarian, which sort of means that it immediately culls a lot of that from your sphere. I'm still a sucker for a McDonald's breakfast.
Oh,
like,
wow.
If I'm ever at the airport, the McDonald's aren't so prevalent at American airports, but in New Zealand, they're always there. And it's like, if I ever am flying before 10:30, although we just got 24-hour breakfast, but for a long time we didn't. I was always like, oh, well, you know I'm going to be getting an egg McMuffin and a hash brown. I'm going to put the hash brown in the muffin, and then I'm going to put some Tommy sauce on the bloody hash brown.
Wait, what? What sauce?
Tommy sauce. Tomato sauce.
Oh, Tommy. There we go.
You
was a Kiwi slang coming. Yeah, little Tommy sauce there. Oh, what's the Kiwi fast food like?
It's the same. We just inherited all of your biggest ones.
There's no like uniquely New Zealand fast food.
No, there was a run for a while of like slightly more upscale burger chains, which got a lot of traction, but by and large we took what we were given from you guys.
Is there anything that doesn't translate that people just don't like in New Zealand that's huge?
Starbucks.
Over here, Starbucks,
yeah,
good, fuck Starbucks.
Yeah, good, moving on.
Starbucks, I think Starbucks tanked in Australia as well.
There's
a real bit of a coffee snobbery going on in the Antipodes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh.
Just, you guys still drink coffee? It's just, you don't.
You go to like a specific cafe.
Right, a place that doesn't burn the shit out of it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's talk Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Baby It's Cold Outside has been sort of put out to pasture.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. So this is something that I feel like we were talking about for a long time at Cracked, and I think basically this was a standard internet comedy observation that song is basically dramatizing a date rape of one man or another. And so radio stations in Canada have stopped playing it altogether. And Piers Morgan, our greatest cultural commentator.
The worst fucking Arsenal fan, too.
I would just stop being a fan of that team, Miles.
Trust me, I can't.
If you
it's bigger than one asshole,
right? There's a joke there, but
I know
it's bigger than one.
For those of you playing along at home,
get the measuring tape out.
So he basically told a woman came on and was like, yeah, but it just really seems offensive and like he's not respecting her agency. And Piers Morgan, to demonstrate that he got what she was saying, told her to shut up. So that was.
Jesus.
But
sounds like he really got the message on listening to a woman. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And so apparently when it was written in the 40s and performed by a husband and wife. And at that time, there are a couple ways that you can look at how the various phrases are taken now versus how they were originally meant.
Right.
And it is culturally different. Like, what's in this drink is a thing that somebody would say if they...
Been date raped.
No, not if they've been date raped. If they had been...
In the 2018 iteration, maybe.
Right, the 2018 iteration, but... Back then, it was a way to like excuse your own behavior, to be like, "Oh, what's in this drink?"
We don't quite have the vocabulary for date rape yet,
right? And they were also saying that in the original version, it was understood that the girl wanted to stay, but she didn't want her reputation tarnished by staying, and that that's how it was originally taken, but. Regardless, it now reads to anybody who listens to it that is under the age of 75 as a song in which a man is not respecting the agency of a woman who is like, I'd really rather leave.
Right.
The real loss is the melody.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful melody.
Yeah, it is a fun melody.
Well, then maybe someone will have to take that melody and then just give it an update.
Yeah, let's just ask PETA to rewrite that song because PETA has been rewriting just old phrases like
PETA, that people were for the ethical treatment of animals.
Yeah. Right. Kill two birds with one stone is feed two birds with one scone, which doesn't mean the same thing.
Is it, you gotta pick a side, Peter. It can't be like it's either an equivalency or it's like a, something that sounds similar.
Right.
But they've like straddled both to create pure nonsense.
Just absolute.
What was it? Beat a dead horse with something like feed a fed horse?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That seems a little superfluous.
You're overdoing it.
It's a little redundant, actually.
Feed a horse more than six French fries.
Yeah.
So, like I said, some radio stations have just officially retired it, said we're not going to play it this year. And it is, I mean, Christmas is the time where suddenly all these songs from the 40s start appearing on like pop radio stations. And they've just decided to retire this. And this brought up the question of, like, what if we just started retiring a Christmas song every year? Our writer, J.M. McNabb, suggested that.
I like that as proposal.
And maybe you induct a new song into the...
The canon.
Canon.
On a similar ilk or note, sorry, there's a British comic named Ramesh Ranganathan who he proposed the rules for something called Whamageddon.
On Twitter.
Have you heard of Whamageddon?
No.
So the basic rules are, the first rule is the objective is to go as long as possible without hearing Wham's Christmas classic.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, that's right. The second rule is the game starts as soon as December is upon us.
Okay.
Whamageddon is also upon us, and it ends at, you know, as the bell tolls on Christmas Eve. The third rule, only the original version of the song is eligible for this Whamageddon. So remixes and whatnot are okay. And then the fourth rule, which is the sort of the most intriguing part, is you are out, as soon as you hear the song, you are eliminated.
Okay.
From Whamageddon. So it's sort of like, you know, it's trying to build a community of people, you know.
We're trying to avoid hearing that song.
Absolutely. But then you like fold people into the world of Whamageddon. So you tell a significant other or your friends to start playing it. And then you find creative ways to have them stumble, you know, if you don't want to leave it up to the gods, you find creative ways.
You start setting people up.
Yeah, like if you've got a phone connected to a Bluetooth speaker in another room in a house.
Oh,
you go,
right.
you're playing Whamageddon, and they go out to do something, and you go, bang, you're listening to Last Christmas.
Or it's like a suicide bomb where you just play it for the whole
everybody.
House.
Like, I'm sorry,
just
I did
take out a whole house of everybody.
Yeah. If I can't be all-powerful like a god, I will destroy like a god.
So what do you think of that song? Because that was actually a controversial pick. We were talking about which songs we'd retire. Super producer Nick Stumpf, I think, had my favorite suggestion, which is Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
I love that jazz guitar, those little licks. I would say 12 Days of Christmas, I'm fine with that.
12 Days of Christmas needs to go the fuck away.
Although I could just listen to a song that went... Five golden rings. That's my favorite part of the song.
Just have somebody rap over that.
Just that. Just five? Yeah, I'm sure someone will loop that.
But it's just so repetitive. That's one that I have listened to this year with my son and been like, man, this is bad music.
Yeah.
Like, this is so fucking bad.
I guess you could give it like the CIA trying to like smoke you out of your hole test.
Yeah.
Like if you blasted it on loop, like the one that would just make you break first. I could see that actually melting me.
Well, yeah, because that song... by its very definition, by its construction, is on loop. Because
right,
you
yeah.
hear whatever the fuck
I
the
feel
first
like
one is.
Come December, it's just free reign. You know,
yeah,
Christmas
yeah.
music can have its way with the wicked world.
Yeah.
Right. But I think an outright ban, you know, January through November is sort of the most...
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
That's the most humane way to
What
go
is
about
your favorite Christmas song?
I like, what is it? Merry Christmas, like is it Sam Cooke who sings Merry Christmas? Though it's been said many times.
Oh, yeah,
many ways.
Or is that Nat King Cole?
I think it might be Nat King. I might have outed myself as an ignoramus.
Yeah. Well, it's been done by many people.
Yeah.
It's a standard.
But it's you know, I love that song.
Yeah. Mariah Carey, I think, got a lot of votes in our office as a song. Shouldn't be banned.
A sick person in the office tried to throw that one on the fire. We said, absolutely not. You stay away from Mariah. One of mine is, I think we all found out, is the Vince Guaraldi trio of Christmas time this year from the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, favorite.
That's canon for sure.
Canon.
I think we can get rid of any of the songs that talk about fucking Santa.
Yes. I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Also, Santa Baby could maybe go. It implies, I don't know. It is another good melody, though.
Yeah. God, see, and this is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, we love the melodies.
Yeah.
Just change the lyrics.
So you don't like to think of Santa as a sexual being or the songs where?
Well, one time I saw Santa fucking my mom.
Well, yeah.
It was at the mall in the loading dock area, and I was very upset.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, this qualifies the opinion quite firmly.
Any other questions, guy?
No. I'm sorry, it's just such an unlikely trigger. I didn't know what I was waiting into.
That's part of the getting to know each other process, yeah, mate. Yeah.
Guy, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Hey, yeah, thanks so much. I've had a wonderful time.
Where can people find you?
@guy_Mont on Twitter and Instagram is probably the most guaranteed means of
contacting
sourcing
you?
Me.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And is there a tweet that you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. Actually, when we were just coming in, I saw what I thought was a funny and timely tweet, which was... It said, not going to lie, this got me choked up. And then it's an image of George W. Bush in quotations as though this is what he said while eulogizing his recently passed father. Yeah. And it says, he wasn't just the 41st president of the United States, he was also the 41st president of my dad.
He's also the 41st president of my dad.
Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram @MilesOfGray. Some tweets I like, they come from Reductress, as usual. One is just says, it's a woman in this like really picturesque winter setting with a nice coat on. It says, four dramatic coats that will have people like, oh no, here she comes. And another one that says, it looks like just a nice older mom wearing a t-shirt with a kind of concerned look on her face and says, obsessed much? This mom wants to know if her daughter's alive.
I could not find another tweet about bootcut jeans, unfortunately. Pixelated Boat tweeted, wow, the Captain Marvel trailer proves once again that Marvel is at the forefront of making movies I might watch on a plane in 4 years, which is how I consume most Marvel movies, the way God intended them to be consumed. You can follow me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out on. Miles, what is that going to be today?
This song is going to be from Pan Amsterdam. A little rap. The track is called Landlord Elijah, and I really like the production on it. If you're an old sample-based beat head like me, you're going to like this little rap ditty. So check that out.
Check it out. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.
Mexicans in the building doing their demolition, and we can't contend this because we only be 5 tenants. No heat or hot water. Landlord ran out of oil. Confront him, don't bother. Landlord thinks we're spoiled. Taking English baths. Damn, we're going under. This was worse than we had at Bucks last summer. Stockbroker friend from college. Out of nowhere, just hits me. Hope he kicks some knowledge. Share success with me. Knowledge came at a strip club. He wanted to see some tits. Success came in 101s. Yo, I pocketed them shits.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at avalonwaterways.com.
Viking.
committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.